miss something? Catch up right here with Claire and Dane.
Now, last night at Griffith City Library, I had the absolute pleasure of hosting a book conversation with Rosie Wardland to discuss her brand new book, Every Lie I've Ever Told. And it's got a very strong Griffith connection. Her best friend, Tony, unfortunately passed away last year. And the book is intertwined between lies that Rosie's told and the story of her finding out about her best friend, Tony, passing away as well. And I, as I mentioned, had the absolute pleasure of hosting a book conversation with her last night at the Griffith City Library. It was so much fun. 180 people there. We all had an amazing laugh and had a great time. So thank you so much to Rena and the entire team at the library for hosting such an amazing event. Before that, Rosie and I hit the stage to discuss the book, I was lucky to chat with Rosie backstage, and here's just some of that chat we had. Have you had a chance to go and see our citrus sculptures, Rosie?
Yes, I did today, my friend. And I must say that Griffith is the cultural epicentre of Australia. It was amazing. My favourite was the giant chicken in a deck chair made of oranges.
Yeah, it's something very special.
And then also, this is quite postmodern and clever, a giant carrot sculpture but made of oranges.
I haven't seen the carrot.
There's a carrot.
Is there really?
Yes.
Well, that there you go.
Bends your mind a little.
It does a little bit. And here's a fun fact. Did you know this is actually a festival that came from France? They do a giant citrus festival over there. We had to get the rights to do that. You can't just go and make an orange sculpture if you want.
Oh, really?
You actually have to get the rights. That's how much we love citrus here in the Riverina.
Little Griffith, the town that could.
And
went
you,
to France to get the rights.
Exactly right. And you love this town.
I love it. My best friend is from here.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
And is it coming back now? How is it for you? Is it like coming home to see your family? What goes through your mind and your heart when you come back to Griffith?
It is. It's he passed away last year, and since then I've sort of been like a surrogate daughter to his parents, and I've just inserted myself into his huge Italian family.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I love coming here. And when I was we were organizing the book tour, I demanded of my publishers that they add an event in Griffith, and I don't think they've ever had to organise a tour stop in Griffith, New
South Wales. Did they say, where's Griffith? Was that one of their questions?
They
That's actually terrible. When
they booked my flights, they accidentally booked them to Grafton.
Oh my God.
That's how much they didn't know where we were going.
That's terrible.
And I was like, guys, Griffith, cultural epicentre of Australia.
I loved it when you came in and you saw some cousins and some nieces and nephews of Tony's.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're just going, you're like, oh, you've grown so much. They're like, am I supposed to remember Rosie or not? It was sort
they're
of funny.
So young. I feel like they're my nieces and nephews. Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah. Hey, about this book, Every Lie I've Ever Told, because I presume, you can tell me if I'm wrong, it started off just about some lies you've told and funny anecdotal stories, memoirs, if you will, and then Tony unfortunately passed away. Intertwining the two was never the plan.
No, it wasn't. It definitely wasn't. But after he died, I just felt like I can't just publish a book filled with funny stories now, not with everything that's happened in the last few months. And so when I sat down to do it, I sort of decided to weave the narrative of his death and the effect that had on my mental health into the book. So it's kind of half-half. It's all these funny stories that I was writing before he died, and then also the story of what happened with his loss.
Did you find it worked well? Were you happy with how it sort of ended up together?
I think so, because the book would be pretty damn depressing, heavy reading.
There's some heavy parts in there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's 29-year-old guy full of life who tragically just accidentally died. And I think the, like, balancing the light and shade makes it a much better book.
Rosie, thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
The Commonwealth Games are on in 2018, and the Queen's Baton Relay is making its way around Australia, and it is going to come through Narendra and Griffith, and you can see a full list of those who will be carrying the baton at hit.com.au. And joining me right now is one of those lucky people, Veronica Cudmore. Good morning.
Good morning.
How very exciting. This is, congratulations.
Thank you.
How do you feel knowing you're one of few selected to carry the Queen's Baton?
Well, obviously, I was stoked just to be nominated. But, yeah, for for it to be a realisation is fantastic.
So did you... Oh, sorry, you go.
Oh, and just great for supporting athletics and all the community events that I'm involved with.
Now, Veronica, did you nominate yourself or did you get nominated by someone?
No, I believe it was my great auntie-in-law, and she conspired with her daughter, my husband, and at least one member of the athletics committee.
Oh, great. So this was a massive surprise.
Yeah, I did find out back in July. I was holidaying in China and got a message to say I needed to fill in some paperwork for the next part of the selection. So, yes, it was a massive surprise.
So, Veronica, how did you find out you're an actual baton bearer? How did you find out the news?
I received a phone call from the Queen's Baton Relay team.
Oh,
and
right.
Then an official email.
Oh, so it wasn't from the Queenie? She didn't call you?
No, sorry, not the Queen, but I've had to keep it a secret for more than a week.
Oh, well, you've done a good job on doing that.
Yeah.
And now you'll be running through Griffith with the Queen's baton. Is there anything like, is there a little part of you that's going to want to rip it open and read that message that's inside it from the Queen?
Oh, no, I think I'll be given the weight of it. I think I might be just struggling to carry it.
You're going to do great. Now, you mentioned before you'll be representing the athletics community because you have done a lot of work in the community regarding that. Just give us an idea of some of the stuff you've done.
Okay, I've been involved with the club for around 17 years, held various positions, currently 9 years as president, and I also hold my officials' ticket in throws, and I also coach the sporting schools program in town, and I'm a level 2 coach.
You have helped out the community hugely in the athletics arena, Veronica, and I'm sure the whole town is super proud of you that you're one of many carrying the Queen's baton through Griffith and Narendra. As I said, you can see the full list of those involved at hit.com.au. Congratulations to all the baton bearers, and Veronica, can't wait to see you striding down Banner Avenue come January.
Thank you, Dane.
I might set up some hurdles for you to jump over.
Oh, great. Only if you jump them with me.
Oh, I'd love to. At what age is it okay to leave your kids home alone? The reason I want to talk about this, a mum has started a debate online after asking whether or not it'd be okay for her to leave her 8-year-old home alone. What grade is that? Grade 3-ish? 3 or 4? The Mumsnet user took to the parenting forum to ask other mums and dads whether they thought she would be unreasonable to leave her little girl, who was in year 4, indoors for 15 to 20 minutes at most. Many were quick to reply, and the opinions were split, and that's why we're talking about it right now. Some thought there wasn't an issue and that leaving her would help her build her independence, but others thought the girl was still too young to be left when the mum was a driving distance away. I think I was left home alone probably when I first started high school, so maybe it was 13. Maybe I was a late bloomer. I spent time alone by myself when I was 13, sort of high school, get home from high school, do homework and all that type of thing. I can't remember, but my primary school growing up in Brisbane was only sort of walking distance, so at the top of the hill. And I actually went home to my neighbour's house. I didn't go home, and I waited till mum get home from work. So that wasn't really home by myself. I was just next door. So that was during primary school. And then in high school, I think I started coming home by myself and got my own set of keys. I thought I'd call my mother just to confirm when she left me home by myself. Hi, Mum.
Hi, son.
Now, how old? I guess I thought I was about 13 when you left me home by myself for the first time. Is that right?
Probably about 13.
Yeah, yep. First year of high school. Did you not trust me before then?
I don't know. Probably not. Yeah, I probably did, but, you know, you've got to be careful. And in this day and age, it's even harder.
Mm.
To even think about leaving your child at home by themselves.
Do you think 8 is too young?
Scary. Oh, God, yes.
Also, 8's too young.
Yes.
How old was Shelley, my sister, when you let her stay at home by herself?
Probably about 13, probably about
the same age. Did you do it the same age for both of us so I didn't feel like I was missing out on anything?
Oh, no. Just worked out that way, I think.
Fair enough.
You were probably the more responsible one than Shelley. She was probably a bit of a sook.
Yeah, she is a sook. She still is a sook.
Yeah, she is.
Thanks, Mummy. Yeah,
that's all right, my darling. Bye.